Hey guys, this is Justin.
And it's Nikki.
And welcome to another episode of Polar Opposites. So if you guys have been listening for weeks and you enjoy the show, make sure you're subscribed. If you like, give us a rating. And we're also on Patreon. So Patreon is a website that allows you to contribute to the podcast and donate any amount of your choice. So if you like, you can donate if you wish. And yeah.
It'll really help us out and help us just with costs of putting up a podcast. It costs money.
Yeah.
And, you know, it'd be nice to have you guys' help and support.
Yeah, but thank you guys for continuing to listen. So this week has been a mild week, I guess. But it was interesting because last night some weird stuff happened.
What?
So I went to In-N-Out, which is one of my favorite places to eat burger-wise. And as I was waiting for my food, there was this guy that was also at the counter. Because once you order, you wait for them to call your number, then you pick up your food. So as the people at In-N-Out would call the number, he would say, hey, that's my number. And then he'd come and snatch the bag of food.
Wait, for everyone?
Yeah, for like the three people that were in front of me. He was like, number 44? Oh, yeah, that's me. But then the real number 44 would come up and take their food. And I'm like, why are you doing that? And then it got to me. Number 50, will you come take your food? He comes up to the counter and snatches my bag. And then the In-N-Out guy's like, wait, is he not number 50? And I was like, no, he's not. So then he gives me my food and goes, oh, yeah, sorry. And I was like, what is wrong with you? And then the weirdest thing happened. As I was waiting for my food, I was on my phone. So there was somebody that said, excuse me. And it startled me because I was like, why is this person that I don't know talking to me?
And saying, excuse me?
And she was like trying to ask me a question.
Oh, okay.
So she goes, hello, do you work here? And I was like, no,
no,
I don't. Like,
they have a very distinct uniform.
Yes, that's why
I
was like, is she like insulting me? Like, what is she trying to say? Because it was like this Russian lady or something. She's like, excuse me, do you work here? And I was like, no, I don't. And it was weird because, as you said, the In-N-Out people like have a distinct like uniform, and I'm not wearing that. I was wearing this shirt. And then she said, I was confused because the back of your shirt, it says, ask me. And I was like, no.
So she asked you.
Yeah, so she asked me a question. And then she goes, I'm sorry, but is there any way possible I can use your internet?
Your internet?
I hesitated. She wanted to use my phone to access the internet.
For
and
what?
I was like, no, that's weird. I'm not going to give some stranger my phone. So I started stuttering. I was like,
because Justin has this thing where, like, he'll start stuttering and it's like, he can't come back from it.
Because I didn't know what excuse to make as to why I didn't want to give her my phone. But then I looked and I saw my phone was on 6%. So I was like, oh yeah, my phone, sorry, it's on 6%. And I was about to get my food and leave anyway. So why would I stick around so this girl could use my internet?
Like, wait, was it like a girl or like
it was
a woman?
Like a 32-year-old woman,
well,
Russian
specific,
woman.
Specific, 32.
I mean, she looked like youngish, okay. But that was just so strange. So as soon as I got my food, I just left there and looked at the workers like, is this what In-N-Out has turned to? Is it the new Whataburger where drunk and weird people are just hanging out?
I mean, it is open late. When did you go?
It was, close to 11.
Okay, that's not too bad. That's, I don't know.
Very strange. Anything strange. Interesting happened with you?
This week was also kind of mild. I was doing a lot of buying stuff, organizing my new place, and just trying to be comfortable and situated. But was it Friday? On my way home from work, there was a little bit of traffic, you know, during rush hour, and this guy behind me, he almost hit me.
Mm-mm.
No, and I could tell, like, you could tell how close someone is and how, like, quickly their car jerks, you know, when they stop.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed this guy was so close behind me. You know how on highway ramps, like getting on or off, like the lane kind of tapers away.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a full lane.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess this guy's impatient to get to wherever he is. And he goes in that lane. It's like a ramp to come onto the highway.
Okay.
And so it's not really a lane.
Mm-hmm.
So he only gets one, like he gets right in front of me. And I was like, okay, that's pointless. It's traffic. Like, we're not moving that much. There's no point in this.
Exactly.
But I was kind of glad because he kept stopping. You know, traffic, stop and go. He kept stopping so close to me. I was like, today is not the day for me to get hit. It is not the day.
It's never the day.
And less than 2 minutes after he gets in front of me, he hits the person in front of me. I was like, that could have been me.
That's crazy.
He hits them. I saw the car
jerk back.
And I was like, you stupid idiot. You were doing all this to get one car in front of me and you just hit that person.
People are so impatient. Like when I drive, I try to give people the benefit of the doubt.
And I can understand if it's like normal, like there's not traffic and like I'm going slow, you want to get around me. But mm-hmm. it's like everyone's very close to each other and you're zooming just to get one place in front of me and then you hit the person. Mm-mm. I was like, this could not be me today.
Wow.
It really could have been
like
me.
That's so scary. Like we don't think about it, but any second, especially when
something
driving, your
happen.
Life... I don't want to be so
dramatic.
I don't
think my life was in danger because we're going slow enough. But yeah. I could tell that this guy was getting really close to me. And every time he stopped, it would be like his car would jerk because he'd be stopping so quickly. I'm like, are you not paying attention?
It's so easy to get a license that we give people like access to drive that really shouldn't be driving. So y'all be vigilant and try not to like...
I think my thing was just like, it could have been me. Thank God that was not
me. Well, I'm glad you didn't get hit and I'm glad your car is intact. But this episode is interesting. But before we move on to in the news,
hot take.
Here's our hot take of the week. My hot take is pretty controversial,
okay,
and I have a clip.
Go ahead.
You guys know me and Nikki. At least when it comes to politics, you guys have been listening to us. You know where we stand politically. You know where we stand on social issues. I'm a person that is very open and receptive to people, and I really believe that everybody should be treated equal. But this hot take, something popped up on my YouTube timeline. I don't know why I was watching it, but I listened to what this girl was saying, and it kind of was thought-provoking. So I'm going to play y'all a clip, and then we'll react to it.
And I'm actually, like, staunchly conservative when it comes to the trans debate. And people say, oh, well, even if a person is trans, you should have the decency and the respect to call them by their preferred pronoun. I don't play that game. And what I always say to people is, if you have a mental disorder, that's fine. You know, I don't need to come up to you and tell you that I think you have a mental disorder. That would be rude. But when you have a mental disorder and you're now requiring that I have a mental disorder, right, to meet your mental disorder, that doesn't work for me. Which is to say that if somebody was walking around as a schizophrenic and saying that they were Superman, and then telling me that I was required to treat them like Superman, I wouldn't play the game. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about trans. I think the slope is so slippery, and they find that to be bigotry. No, I don't need to, I'm not going to call you she, I'm not going to call you her, just because you're a grown man and you're wearing a wig and a dress. That's literally telling me that I am now required to have a mental disorder because you have one.
Obviously, it's a psychological condition, but what the left wants is to have their cake and eat it too. They want to say, this is a very serious psychological condition, and you have to indulge it. Also, you have to treat it as though it's objectively true.
Right.
That's where
change the bathroom signs now, right?
Change
because this person, this person now needs to feel like there's a place for them to go that's safe.
So my hot take is that she has kind of a point. There's stuff that she said that I disagree with for sure. The stuff that she said about misgendering people on purpose, knowing that they're trans. I feel like there's no point in doing that. I think that the easy thing to do is to call them by the pronoun that they prefer.
Like, what more does it take out of you to do that?
I look at it as the same thing as somebody named Christopher, but they go by Chris.
It doesn't take more effort to call them Chris.
It doesn't. So that's the same way I look at it with gendered pronouns. But the thing I think she has a point about is when it comes to trans being a mental condition. I think that it is a mental condition. And I think that some people would argue against that. I don't know what you think.
So I'm going to take it from maybe not necessarily my answer as the perspective, but learning about the DSM, which is a diagnostic and statistical manual for psychology, like psychiatry uses something different because it's medical, but it is for someone who is trans, and if they want to go like on hormones or something like that, that you need a prescription for, you do have to go to, I think, a psychiatrist because they can prescribe medications, but you do have to go to them and they have to diagnose you with gender dysmorphia.
Dysphoria.
Sorry, I'm not an expert, but I learned about this in my classes. So like they have to diagnose you with something so that you're able to either in your workplace or legally to change your gender on your license, your passport, to get these hormones, you have to go through this formal process of getting a diagnosis. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's hard for me to understand because I've never been through it. I don't know what it's like. And I slightly see what you're saying, but I think there are different types of mental disorders, or like there's so much stigma around labeling something as a mental disorder. Mm-hmm. There are things, like she was saying, schizophrenia. I think that's very different. It's very different than saying, I'm Superman. Obviously, they're not Superman. Mm-hmm. Or if they say there's some historical person that's dead, obviously that's not true, mm-hmm. right? But that's so different.
Somebody could argue the same thing, though. Couldn't somebody said, obviously, you're not a man or a woman?
I don't know. I guess you can have that argument. And it's just like...
And that's what I'm saying. Because you believe that it's the proper thing to do is to call people by the pronoun that they prefer. Mm-hmm. So if somebody is trans, was a man at birth and transitioned to a female, mm-hmm. they are a female in your eyes, right?
I guess, yeah.
Okay. So with that regard, when it comes to sports, if they're a female in your eyes, why are they not allowed to play sports in the gender that they identify with?
I think that's where it becomes complicated of like sex versus gender, right? And like gender being the social construct, right? I think is what a lot of people look into it as. I'm kind of changing what gender I conform. I'm sure some people undergo like sex transformations, mm-hmm. But some people are like, I don't ascribe to this gender that I was born as, and society told me I have to dress a certain way or act a certain way as a boy or as a girl. Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that like trans people should be playing the sports that they identify with?
Not really. I think we talked about this before with Nathan.
Because if you don't believe that they should play in the sport that they identify with, that's no different than calling them a man or a woman to their face if that's not the gender that they identify with. Because it's one thing to say, yes, I recognize you as a female, but why do you not recognize them when they want to play the sport of their choice? It's so complicated
because with sports, you're separated based on basically naturally like the different hormones that you produce. And like the natural, quote unquote, like physical abilities. Mm-hmm. Like you asked me before, last episode, mm-hmm. do you believe a man is stronger than a woman? Mm-hmm. Right? So I said yes. So for me, it's not fair to have someone who is inherently stronger, like let's say shot put in track and field. Mm-hmm. It's someone who's inherently stronger and who has like a greater capability to do better than me. To like compete in the same field. That's why it's separated. So it's a very complicated situation that crosses many facets of life, whether it's sports, whether that's like having something on your license and just day-to-day interactions. Mm-hmm. But it gets complicated because also there's some people who I think the term is passing, right? Who you wouldn't know that were trans. So there's some people, obviously, you look at them and you question, you're not sure if they're a man or a woman, right? So then I'm wondering, I'd rather ask them and them tell me than me be like, because there are some women who look manly and are still going to say, I'm a woman, mm-hmm. right? And there's some men who look more feminine are going to say, I'm still a man. So for me, I think I'd rather ask and know what they identify as mm-hmm. than me saying, you are this, because I don't know. Like, am I going to pull down your pants? And like, I don't know.
Yeah. Because there was a comment that I found was interesting. I'm going to read it. This was under the video. Somebody said, I don't agree with the rationale she used to make her point. However, I agree with not using the word she or woman when referring to a transgender male. I am born a woman and I'm somewhat of a feminist. As such, I've lived through being a woman, hormonal changes that not only affect me, but those surrounding me, the monthly torture of cramps, clots, mm-hmm. the days of being bedridden because of the monthly periods that I have, the wonderful effect of pregnancy from the distortion of my body for 9 months, hours of labor, childbirth, stitches, and recovering from all of that, along with the incremental leaking of breasts when it's feeding time, and the pain and discomfort in the actual feeding. This is just a few of the things that came along with me being a woman. I support the right of everyone to say who they truly are and will fight alongside them for their rights to do so. But it's hard for me to give up the name or title of being a woman. I think there should be a name or title that would identify transgendered people for who they truly are. Being a woman has never been easy, from being treated like the weaker sex to discrimination and violence toward women that still exist today. But I'm proud to be a woman, and living through all that comes along with being a woman, I just don't believe that being transgender is the same. I'm just saying.
Okay, I kind of understand the point of it. I think I've thought about this in the past before, mm-hmm. Just because of what I have personally gone through mm-hmm. and what I may go through in the future. Like, for the past, I don't know how many years, I've had a period, and this is something I go through every single month. Mm-hmm. But a trans woman will not have to go through that or will not have gone through that. Mm-hmm. So this is something I really just don't understand it.
Right.
I think from, I don't know, a long time, like I've seen specials on TLC. You know, TLC basically just exploits people.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen these things and there are things I just don't understand.
I mean, we're not meant to understand everything, but it's like, so it's not complicated. If you're born a woman and you have periods, you give birth to children, mm-hmm. and then you have somebody else that wants all the benefits of being a woman, but mm-hmm. not all the realities that come with like having periods and childbirth and all of that. So how does that make other people feel? And I think that's like an important question to raise, because I feel that some people might think this topic is controversial or
I think it
touchy.
Is controversial because it's so complicated. You just mm-hmm. you can't know unless you've been through it. And I don't know what these people are going through.
I'm telling you that if you say that men and women should play in the sport that mm-hmm. or that shouldn't play in the sport that they identify with, then there's no difference in calling them the gender that they don't identify with to their face versus not allowing them to play in the sport that they identify with. If that makes sense.
No, I think it makes sense, but I don't think it's necessarily congruent. I don't know. Maybe there will be a trans Olympics one day, like there's a Special Olympics.
Because if somebody is trans and they like passing and they look like the gender that they identify with, how are you supposed to like prove if they're trans or not?
Well, also in the height of the Olympics per se, mm-hmm. there is like testing. People get tested all the time for whether it's being on steroids, different hormones and whatnot, because it's supposed to be like a fair competition, mm-hmm. right? So I don't know.
Because you get a change on your driver's license, so I'm sure that there's no way for them to be like, you're actually not the gender that you were born as.
I'm sure there is, actually. For DNA.
Yeah, if y'all know or have answers to this, I would love to like get some clarity on this. Because I just thought this was such an interesting like topic of debate, and I just wanted to bring it up to just discuss it.
I think even with a simple blood draw, like you would be able to tell with someone's DNA, right?
I don't know.
I mean, there's so much that you can get from someone's blood. So it's a very controversial topic.
Yeah.
And I don't know the answer.
Same. And I had other stuff that was going through my head too, like some people like that have gender dysphoria at the age of 8. I think that the age of 8 is really early, especially if you want to transition, because one, your body is not like fully developed and sometimes you haven't gone through puberty. So I think that this might be another hot take, but people should have to like wait till like they're 21 to get a change
what
if they want to.
Like, I don't know. What if you just don't want a penis that fully develops like that, and you realize at like 10 years old that you want to be a girl?
I mean, but
I don't know.
At 10, I was not at the mental capacity I am today to rationalize
with that,
this.
I know there are a lot of people who are like gay or lesbian and say they've known that since they were like very young.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that they didn't know that? I think there's certain things some people just know about themselves at a very early age.
Yeah, but with that, you don't have to have a surgery if you're gay
or
lesbian.
Yeah, I understand
that.
I mean, I don't think you have to have a surgery either way. It's elective.
Mm-hmm. But I'm saying that some parents will say, hey, if you're having these problems, mm-hmm. we're going to get you the change that you want. But I think that's too early is my point.
I think that's early. It's also a circumstance of resources, if you have the resources to do that or not. I don't know.
Yeah, but let us know what y'all think. I'm gonna let Nikki say her hot take.
I don't want to do my hot take.
Really?
No, it's not even hot.
Okay,
it's not. Yeah, we just talked about that for. No.
Okay, I guess we're good then. So now we'll transition to in the news. So in the news, there are people that are feeling empowered, and I saw this also on my timeline. There was a woman that was eating at a white woman. She was eating at a restaurant. There was black people next to her, and apparently she said that the black people were making too much noise and being noisy. She goes over to them, and they have a confrontation, and I'm going to play you a clip of what occurred.
This North Carolina woman, her name is Nancy Goodman, is going viral right now for this confrontation with a black woman at a restaurant. Take a look. Down when a WRAL reporter asked her about it later. Watch.
I'm a 71-year-old woman who lives in Raleigh. I suffer from tremendous anxiety. I'm not going to say I'm sorry to them because they kept pushing at it. So, and that's all I'd really like to say.
What about your use of the N-word?
I used that word because they forced me into it.
Do you see how that's incredibly offensive?
Yes, I do. That's why I said it.
So, oh, Lord. She's not apologetic at all. She said you cannot force someone into using any word.
This is crazy. And I think this says more to do with our political climate as well. You see our president saying all kinds of inflammatory things at the highest level. So these people feel emboldened to say the things that they've always wanted to say. I thought that was so messed up that people feel the need to do that.
That's why I said it, because it's offensive.
Like, so, as if it's justified because they made her say that. That's really incredible to me.
I've seen all types of loud people at restaurants. I'm not going to go and call them something.
I thought that was so crazy, the fact that she wasn't apologetic.
At all.
And how do you have
the
nerve to be on national TV like that? And I hope that you get fired, honestly.
Ooh, it could be fired, people around. She said, I know plenty of black people and I like them.
Oh, that was ridiculous. That made me so angry.
I hate that statement. I have a black friend. I know black people. Okay.
And she said that she has anxiety and that's what prompted her to say that.
No, it
that's
didn't.
Ridiculous.
It did not.
That made me so angry. That annoyed me so much. But people feel so emboldened these days, and I wish that wasn't the case with our climate. But hopefully stuff like that stops. And then Harriet Tubman. I don't know if you saw the trailer for Harriet.
No.
People, I don't know, are saying that we should go out and see this Harriet Tubman movie the same way we went out and saw Black Panther. What do you think?
Does it look good?
I mean, it looks good quality, but I don't want to see it, to be honest. I don't care to see it, I guess.
Okay, this brings up a bigger, issue or topic of, supporting... What do you think about, supporting Black-owned businesses and, just Black-owned things, movies, whatnot?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a problem in this, but I think that there's no reason for me to go and support a Black-owned business if it's not good business.
Well, this movie, it looks good. It looks like it's going to be an Oscar movie because Cynthia Erivo is starring as Harriet. And, it looks like really good quality, but some people are not here for it because it's another slave movie and they're tired of this narrative. I thought it was interesting because there's never been, a wide movie release about Harriet Tubman, to my recollection. I'm not sure if that's the case. But I think that it'd be great to see her brought to screen. But yes, Why do I want to see it?
Why don't you?
It doesn't look that interesting to me.
Isn't your favorite movie 12 Years a Slave?
Yes, it is. But 12 Years a Slave is something else. It's cinematic to another level. Maybe I will watch this Harriet Tubman movie to see.
Maybe it'll feel the same way.
I don't think it will. But you never know until you see it. So I'll watch it and see what the hype or what people are talking about. But I don't know. Because I'm tired of slave movies. I think that black people as actors
have the
capacity to play so many different roles. And it sucks
that we can play any role. We're people. We can play anything.
These roles are the only ones that are being offered and accepted by black actors. So.
I've talked about this before. I like to see more minorities in movies that aren't necessarily just typecasted, that aren't necessarily about slavery or the black struggle. Can we just be in quote-unquote normal roles, right? I think we can play anything because... We're just people.
Exactly.
We're just people.
Okay, so the last... Do you have another story?
No.
Okay, so the last story that we have is about A$AP Rocky. We never talked about this a couple weeks ago when it was actually happening. A$AP Rocky, at the peak of the Black Lives Matter movement, was criticized by the public for not supporting them vocally or on Twitter or whatever. And he came out with a statement saying something to the extent of, I live in California. I'm not around these people. These people are not connected to me. Why do I feel the need to stand with them if that's...
I guess.
But I mean, it brings up interesting things because I feel like if you're black, you don't have to vocalize publicly what your opinions are if you don't want to, especially if you have a platform. Sometimes we think that celebrities are obligated to do things that
I feel like
they
with
shouldn't
anyone,
have to do.
I think that's another pressure people put on celebrities that they have to go out and make the statement and make this bold thing.
They
really don't have to. And either way, whatever position that they take, they're going to be scrutinized by a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because someone's not going to agree with them.
Move in silence. There's a lot of power in moving in silence as well. It's one thing to use a hashtag and not really be about it when it comes to, being active in your community. And it's another thing to not say anything at all, but be behind the scenes actually doing work. Yeah. So because he said that, that stuff doesn't relate for me, I live in Boohoo or whatever he says, I'm rich, I'm not involved in all of that. People said that, okay, since he's been in prison, because if y'all don't know, A$AP Rocky Rocky. He got in an altercation in, I believe, Sweden, and they put him in prison and arrested him. So he's been in jail like for the past couple of weeks, and people have been trying to get him out, like Kanye West and Kim Kardashian were like, ASAP, we support you. And then President Trump tweeted, very disappointed in Prime Minister Stephen Laughlin for being unable to act. Sweden has left our African-American community down in the United States. I watched the tapes of ASAP Rocky and he was being followed and harassed by troublemakers. Treat Americans fairly. Hashtag free Rocky. Give ASAP Rocky his freedom, in all caps. We do so much for Sweden, but it doesn't seem to work the other way around. Sweden should focus on its real crime problem. Hashtag free Rocky. Like, why is he, like, using ASAP Rocky as the sacrificial lamb?
He's trying to get some votes, really, right here. This is his campaigning to reel us in.
I don't care.
I don't care either.
Especially after what ASAP Rocky said. Why should we care about him being in prison when he didn't care for the people that were affected?
Being made to be a bigger deal than it is. Of course, he is, like, in jail in another country,
yeah,
which I'm sure is scary. But at the same time, he's not like some innocent person that didn't do anything,
yeah,
you know?
Something happened.
Yeah.
Like, they wouldn't just put him in jail for
no reason.
So
it's not like, I don't know, it's not some backwards kind of place. Like, it's just Sweden. He did something.
Yeah.
He got put
so
in jail.
My opinion is, let him serve his time if he did it. If not, let him out. But I don't feel any sympathy for him. And all the people using hashtag free Rocky don't care, really don't care at all. So if he doesn't care about black people being affected in our country, I don't care about him being locked up in Sweden. Sorry, not sorry.
Okay.
Sorry. So this week, our main topic is all about viral culture, clout chasing, and all the stuff that comes with that. Mm. But I think that with the advent of social media, viral culture has become like a huge thing
in
our culture.
It's been transformed. I think the biggest thing that we saw early on was on YouTube with like Charlie bit my finger. Mm-hmm. I think that's the first thing I realized that went viral.
Right.
Charlie, like, it was so encapsulating that like millions and millions of people were seeing the same video and everyone knew what it just brought
it was,
people together in
and
a way.
The thing that brought people together is because it was so genuine.
Yeah.
It wasn't this forced kind of thing. And I think with viral culture, like, it used to be something authentic, like Nikki mentioned before. There were so many, like, YouTube videos, like Charlie Bit Me, for example, and other, like, videos that people loved and went viral.
It wasn't necessarily, like, I'm trying to make something that is going to go viral. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, there's this cute video of my kid. I'm going to post it on YouTube. And it so happened that I don't know how many people saw it, but millions and millions of people saw it.
Do you remember that Evolution of Dance video? That was one of the most popular videos at one point in the early days of YouTube.
Yeah.
Where some guys like dancing to different genres of music. Mm-hmm. Like, that was huge and that went viral. And I think that towards like the 2009-2008 era is when we saw like a shift with YouTube. So it started with Justin Bieber, in my opinion.
Really?
Justin Bieber was a YouTuber and he got a lot of like fame off of his YouTube videos, and eventually Usher found him, Scooter Braun found him, they signed him, and Justin Bieber has now been a part of our culture ever since. And because he was found on YouTube, a lot of people started saying, you know what, if Justin Bieber got famous off of YouTube, I'm going to make my own stinking videos. And
but it worked for a lot of people.
It did.
And YouTube has been one of the biggest platforms. One, it allows people to make money off of whatever their talent is, whether that be music, beauty, gaming. Some of the biggest YouTubers are gamers. Like, people just watch other... I've never understood this, really. People just watch other people play video games.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
I'm not a gamer. Y'all know that.
Yeah.
I think that I can spend my time doing something else than sitting in front of a TV playing video games.
It's a big market.
It's a huge community.
It's crazy.
So once, like, Justin Bieber got fame off of YouTube, then everybody wanted to start singing on YouTube and make videos.
I mean, even before YouTube, as a creative, as someone who wants to be a singer, it's hard. And you know it. Like, everyone knows it's hard, right? But then there's this platform that allows people potentially all over the world to see me. So I'm going to go into this because it's going to be maybe a quicker way to fame. Someone out there is going to see me. They're going to tell someone else rather than working in whatever town I live in. Maybe I have to go all the way to LA for someone to recognize me.
But I don't think that it started as a way for people to be famous. I think people just wanted to showcase their talent with the world.
It was a community.
So it was a natural thing that, hey,
yeah,
I can play the guitar. Here's a video of me playing the guitar. And then some people happen to get famous off of that.
Yeah.
But then it morphed into this thing where people strictly use YouTube as a means to be famous and get notoriety, in my opinion.
Yeah, I definitely think There are some YouTubers that I watch now that have been doing it for 10 years. Like, you can go back and watch their, like, terrible quality videos from 2009, and they have just been grinding, and they've made it to where they are now. Whereas there are some people now that maybe they're, like, Instagram, I don't know, they're on Instagram. Instagram influencers, or they get a lot of followers based on their looks and whatnot, and then now they're able to start a YouTube channel and have, like, 100K plaque in a day because they have a huge following on Instagram, and that just translates over, where for some people, it was a much harder road to make it there. And I guess one big question I have is, like, why do people want to be famous?
I think because in what we see in the entertainment industry, you see that people have these nice cars, nice houses, hang out with celebrities. They want that lifestyle. So in order to get the lifestyle that they want, they do anything for fame. And that's, I think that's true. What it is.
People do anything. People are terrible. They let go of their friends, family, whatever, just to get fame. You know, I've never understood that. I don't know if I've said this, but I would never want to be famous.
It's an attention thing, especially for people that maybe didn't have friends growing up or always felt alone. By being famous, it's like all these eyeballs on you. Wow, people care about me?
The thing is, I'm sure it's actually very lonely and alienated. Unless you really have a close group of friends who you can trust, I'm sure it's alienated because then you have to be more aware of who your actual friends are, who wants to be friends with you just for a connection or because you're famous and you might pop up on their Instagram, get some followers from that. Or is it people who genuinely want to be around you for your presence?
Imagine, like, if I ever got famous, I'm not making any new friends. Anybody that was my friend before I was famous, that's who I'm rocking with, and that's it. Because I'm sure the celebrities have trust issues. You don't know who's trying to get money out of you, extort you, who wants to be your friend naturally, or who wants to just get followers and likes from you.
With friendships or even relationships, and that's why, like, a lot of celebrities just date other celebrities
because they're the only people that can relate to their
experiences. Yeah, you know they're not going to be going after you for your money or for fame because they already have their own thing. But, like, to me, being famous is terrible because you have no privacy. Literally, you can look at a lot of, like, teen celebrities. Justin Bieber, Miley Cyrus, Demi Lovato.
All gone crazy.
Who else?
Lindsay Lohan,
Amanda Bynes. Oh, Lord.
I noticed, like, the correlation.
There's a correlation. So it's like when you're in the media, you don't have privacy, and everything you do, especially when you're young, is scrutinized. And the thing is, as young people, we're prone to make mistakes. But for me, if I made the same mistake that Justin Bieber made,
it's
for
not
me,
scrutinized it doesn't, it, to the
I,
same
like,
degree.
Maybe my parents might be mad, but that might be it. But instead, if you're Justin Bieber, then millions of people are like, wow, Justin, I can't believe you did that. You broke my heart. I trusted you so much. Like, I really looked up to you. Now I don't look up to you. It's this whole...
It's stupid. And it's like, you have, some people say that you have to be a role model since you have this huge platform.
Oh, why? Maybe I didn't want to be.
If I ever got famous and people said, oh, Justin, I love you. You're a great role model for me. I'd be like, that's great and I appreciate
that.
But I'm not a role model. I'm just, like, famous for whatever.
Yeah,
like,
some people don't ask to be a role model and then they get scrutinized. Oh, why are you doing this? You know kids look up to you. It's like, well, I didn't get into this avenue because I want a kid to look at me. That's not my audience. If you don't want your kids to look at me, then control what your kids are
watching. Like, there's other role models in your community aside from celebrities. Celebrities should never be like who you aspire to be, honestly, because what you see behind closed doors, it tells a different story.
It's not the same thing. And you have this public image and then you have, like, your life apart from being in the paparazzi.
Exactly. I want the money that they have. I do not want everything that comes with that.
Man, I don't even know if I want that type of money, because, you know, there's gonna be people around you, friends, quote unquote friends, family members who might be like, oh, wow, so when can I come and visit you in your house? But you haven't talked to me in 5 years,
exactly.
So what's going on?
No, all the cockroaches will start coming out of the corner.
And
try to be in your
the
life
leeches,
again. Yeah.
They're going to suck on and try to get anything out of you that they can.
No.
I would never want to be famous.
No.
I think it's a terrible
thing. It's a
thing.
Curse, honestly. And with, like, fame, I think that a new avenue for people to gain notoriety is through clout chasing. And y'all know what clout chasing is, right? Everybody should know what that is, right?
I don't know. Define it for the people in the back.
Okay, so clout chasing, if you guys don't know, is a method that people use to either get fame, and they get fame by antagonizing somebody, being extra in a way. I don't know if I'm explaining it well at all. Should I look
Basically,
at Urban Dictionary?
You're doing things that you maybe even wouldn't normally do to get attention. Mm-hmm. Like, you're chasing clout. You're doing something that you know is going to spark controversy, or that you know is going to get you attention from people out there in the media, and you do it, and then you get their attention. Mm-hmm. And then you get your little 15 minutes of fame, or maybe more.
Yeah, clout chasing is doing anything for attention and likes, whether that be doing bizarre things, or basically what Nikki said, doing anything, like, strange or thought-provoking. Not even thought-provoking, but just
doing something that gets someone's attention. Yeah. It doesn't have to be thought-provoking.
Exactly, yeah. And that's what I'm seeing in our, like, society now. So,
People love it.
Some people do love it. Dr. Phil, he had the Catch Me Outside girl on his show.
Wait, hold on. I don't know if I told you all this. Have I told you this?
No.
Okay, so the past 3 years, except for this year, I've been going to LA. My sister lives there. And so, 3 years ago, in August, me and my sisters were walking on Hollywood Boulevard, and there's a bunch of people there. There's this guy handing out tickets to Dr. Phil.
Okay.
Because I guess they need people in their audience, right? So me and my three sisters, we were all about to go, but then we realized my little sister's too young. I think he had to be 18.
Wow, that's dumb.
Well, I mean, you don't know what's going on. I don't know. Anyway, you had to be 18. Mm-hmm. So only me and my one other sister went, and then the other two, like, stayed at home and did something else. Mm-hmm. So we went to see Dr. Phil, right?
Oh. Wow.
Okay, so, right? Okay, there's supposed to be two showings that day, like two filmings, right? And we were waiting on my sister's friend, and she was late. You know, African people cannot be on time.
They arrive on African time.
They cannot be on time. But this is Dr. Phil. You have to be on time to get in.
Yeah.
So we ended up having the door was closed by the time she came. So we went to go eat, and then we came back. And the second showing, do you know what I saw?
What did you see?
I saw the Cash Me Outside girl. Yes.
Wait, live in studio?
Yes.
You're lying.
I've told so many people this, honestly.
So the very first episode she was on, Dr. Phil, you were in the audience.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness. Like, I could call my sister right now and be like, what did we see on Dr. Phil?
So did you know when you saw her doing her antics that she was going to be big?
I think there's a lot of Dr. Phil people that become big because, honestly, I've seen Dr. Phil and I was like, this is too much. This can't be real at all. Mm-hmm. But sitting in that audience, I was trying to, like, cover my chuckles because I was like, this is so ridiculous. I thought this was all editing, but really this girl was crazy. Mm-hmm. And she was just doing all types of antics. I actually never watched a full episode because I was there. Right. I was like, why not? Why would I? But I think in September, maybe, or October, I don't remember when that episode aired, but I think in September I saw something on YouTube and I sent it to my sister. I was like, oh my God, this is the girl that we saw in the studio live. Because you see it before it even airs.
Right.
So we were telling, like, as soon as we got back, we were telling my other sisters, like, y'all wouldn't believe what we saw. Like, this girl, she's 14. She's younger than my little sister at the time.
Acting ratchet
and
wild.
Yeah, like, she was dressing like she's 25. Obviously, she didn't look 25. Mm-hmm. She was dressing like a mess. She was saying all this. She's so mean to her mom.
And all these hoes laughing like so funny.
She's talking about the audience that they're laughing at her.
Did you say the hoes are laughing?
Yep.
So the audience are a bunch of hoes.
Yeah. Catch me outside. How about that?
Huh?
Catch me outside. How about that?
Catch you outside? What does that mean?
What I just said.
Catch her outside means she'll go outside and do what she has to do.
I remember during those tape, we were like, what kind of accent is that?
Oh,
like,
my God.
Because I was like, she said she was from Florida, maybe?
Were y'all allowed to talk? Or they said no talking?
No, you're not supposed to talk. Okay. They're filming, right? But the whole time I was
like... like chuckling to yourself?
Trying to.
I would be too. So, like, with viral culture, she is a phenomenon now.
Yeah, I didn't know she was going to... I thought it was really crazy whenever I saw it, so I thought it would get some attention, but there's no way in my mind that I thought she was going to be what she is even today.
Yeah, because based on her controversial Dr. Phil appearance, she was signed by somebody.
Got money.
They converted her into a rapper, and now she's like a legit rapper.
She's like, only like 16,
rapper.
17 now? Still really young.
Yeah.
It's just crazy to me because I saw her and I was like, this is crazy. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the whole Catch Me Outside became a thing. I was like, I heard that like 2 months ago
in the
studio.
You heard that.
Yeah.
And
I
it's so
it was
wild. Like,
whole thing.
Viral culture, you can be a regular person one day and then you can be an overnight success
millionaire,
the next.
Basically.
Like, and she's like a millionaire now. She's making money.
She moved her mom out. Like, she's making money.
Mm-hmm.
It's
crazy how, like, a tagline or you acting ratchet or crazy can make you famous. And it's crazy because now she's a rapper.
She's actually
and
crazy.
She is. So based on that Dr. Phil appearance, now everybody's trying to come on Dr.
Everyone
Phil
knows
to
Bad Baby, right?
To be a new sensation. Like, there was that girl that thought she was white. I knew the second that I was watching that was fake. I was like, this is some bad acting. If y'all don't know what I'm talking about, Dr. Phil did another episode after the Catch Me Outside episode, like months later.
I think we put on their Instagram before.
Yeah, we have.
She's like, I am Caucasian.
I know a lot of people take issue with my beliefs. I'm white. I'm a Caucasian because everything about me is different from an African American. I have naturally straight hair. My hair isn't nappy. It doesn't require weave. My nose is not giant like African Americans. My lips are perfect. They're not too big and they're not too small. They're just perfect. My ears, I don't have black people ears because they're really giant. Most African Americans speak ghetto. But when it comes to black people, I think they're all ugly and I have nothing in common with them. I'm different from African Americans because I'm white. My figure is just like Kim Kardashian, and she's a wonderful role model. I act and I think like a white person instead of a black person. I believe that I'm completely and utterly better than them. Like, we're on two different levels. Like, okay, African Americans are here, I'm here. White people act and think just way more mature than African Americans. Black people, they think in a criminal way. When I think about African Americans, I feel like asking them, what is wrong with them? They're really dangerous. If African American is on the same street as I am, I'll cross the street to avoid their chaotic, thuggish ways.
My figure is just like Kim Kardashian's.
My hair is just like the whites. I hate black people. They're so ghetto.
I told my mom, I'll never be like those Negroes.
I was like, bitch, please. Are black. Look at your skin.
I knew
she
that
wasn't
that was
light
fake.
Skin. She had color to her.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
She was
had some melanin.
A dark-skinned
yes.
black woman.
And I was like, you're delusional, or this is just for clout.
I knew that it was fake. They were trying to do the same thing with Cash Me Outside Girl, be crazy on Dr. Phil, get famous the next day. Did it work out for her? No, because a couple days later, her stepsister exposed them and said that whole thing was a shenanigan to get, like, famous, and it didn't work. So it's just, like, the means that people will go through to get fame and attention is just wild
but,
to
I mean,
me.
I guess it worked to an extent. Like, a lot of people have seen that video of her on Dr. Phil.
Yeah, but she's not a celebrity Bad Baby.
She's definitely not.
Nowhere even
it's
close.
It's so funny. She created this whole persona of Bad Baby. Before she was just Danielle, and now she's Bad Baby.
No, I hate. She's so annoying to me.
She's very annoying. I just thought it was so wild seeing. I can't believe I've never told
no,
you that.
No, you've never told me. That's like crazy.
I feel like I have.
No, you've never
okay,
told me
okay, maybe because it like
maybe
happened,
you've told everybody else.
Maybe. Yeah. And also because it happened like a good year before I met you. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know. I feel like I told everyone. I just forgot. Wow. I haven't told you.
Wild. What else did you have?
What else did I have? Like, you see us in middle school with, like, cliques, right? And then there's, like, the pretty girl that's really popular mm-hmm. and the guy that's really popular. Mm-hmm. And, like, a lot of people want to be that.
Yeah.
But why? Like,
thank
what do you,
you
get out of it?
Thank you, Nikki. Thank you for bringing that up.
Okay.
People want attention. People want likes. Instagram is experimenting in other countries with disabling people's likes.
They knew they couldn't try it in the U.S. at first.
Oh, they
people go crazy.
People, the influencers would be mad. But
their
I'm interested to see what would happen if Instagram did disable likes. Because a lot of people post stuff just for the sole purpose of receiving likes and attention from people. And it's really taken away the true meaning of what Instagram is supposed to be. It's supposed to be
an instant thing.
Let me
right?
share you
but
photos from my life.
That.
And now there's all these rules. You can't post twice in a day. Like, why can't you post twice in a day or three times if you want to? The sole purpose is sharing photos from your lives.
Yeah.
Why should you limit it to just one time, like, per...
It's supposed to be this instant thing. Mm-hmm. You share a moment from your life of what you're doing right now. And I guess you have that now with stories a little bit of what you're doing here and now. But people are more curated in what they post. Mm-hmm. You know, influencers have their ads that they post that they put together mm-hmm. for some company. They get money off of it based on how many people look at it, how many people like it, how many people comment on it. Mm-hmm. They basically get that on their interactions, right? Their engagement with people. And it'll be interesting. The thing is that the user can still see their likes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess for influencers, I don't know if this will make people more likely to go ahead and like a photo or less likely because they won't be able to see it, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, either... I mean, they will be... It will show up on your feed.
For me, I can see how many likes I got on my photo, mm-hmm. but all my followers cannot see how many likes are on there. So will it be that other people will want be like, oh, I'm not going to like this. No one is.
I think I would like it just to show that person, hey, I saw your picture and I liked it.
Yeah, that's why I wonder what the impact will be. And I guess that's what they're doing with this testing. If like people are just going to stop liking, or if liking will be the same or increase.
Right, but I don't think that's the only reason why they're doing this. They're doing this because a lot of people feel down and depressed when their picture doesn't get likes. Because you see all these other people getting hundreds of likes, but you're getting 5 likes, 15 likes, and it's like, shit, what's wrong with me?
I mean, if
people
aren't liking my pictures. I think we're even guilty of that.
I mean, yeah.
Yes, we are. Because I know the way you've reacted. Don't say I mean. Because Justin has posted a picture, be like, if this doesn't get 1 like per minute in the first hour, then I'm taking it down. I'm taking it down. That's actually his rule. I don't have that rule.
No, yeah, my rule is that I can base how many likes I'm going to get on my picture based on how many likes I'm receiving in the first few minutes. If I've uploaded a picture and it's been up for 15 minutes and I have 15 or more likes, okay, I'm satisfied because I know I'm going to be satisfied with the amount of likes.
I thought this was so crazy whenever he told me this.
It's true.
Yeah,
and if I follow that algorithm, it's really true. If I get certain likes, I will get the amount of likes that I want on that picture.
Exactly. We do things, like you said, to get a certain amount of likes. We wonder if I have 80 likes or 100 likes. That somehow validates how good your photo was, I guess.
And it's sad because we look at Instagram as a sense of validation, and we shouldn't do that.
I'm definitely guilty of it because there's one picture I posted around graduation. It got like the most likes I've ever gotten. I was like, wow, this must be a really good picture. And
it was a good picture.
Like, it made me feel good in a way, but why did it make me feel so good?
Mm-hmm. And we've gone too far with it too, because some people, regardless of what you're posting, some people will say, hey, I'm not going to post at a certain time because I'm not going to get maximum likes at this time. No, I don't. I used to think like that, but now
I
thought,
told you, and
it doesn't matter.
I like showed Justin. I was like, look, like Sunday's actually an okay day to post. He's like, wow, I guess now I can post on Sundays.
Time and day are different. I think when it comes to time, I can post at whatever time I want to, but day is different. I don't know if you all have this issue, but on Sundays, don't post a picture on Sunday because you're not going to get any likes.
I posted pictures on Sundays. I feel like Sunday is actually a good day because for most people, they're pretty leisurely. Like Saturday, you have your activities going on. But like Sunday, people are winding down a little bit for work or school and whatnot and just kind of like getting ready for the next week.
I think that's like Friday's the worst day.
Friday's a terrible day because people
are not checking their phones like that. Ready for the weekend.
Ready for the weekend. Not trying to be on their phone. Fridays are terrible. But I don't think Sundays are bad.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just all these things that we think about,
and
for
we shouldn't. Like, all of this stuff is dumb. Like, even
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't. It really doesn't.
Like, why does it matter if we get 80 likes or 50 likes? Like, who does it really matter to? If I like the picture and I want to share it, then I should just post it.
It's just that we want people to see
validation.
We just want people. I don't look at it as validation because I know if I'm going to post something that it's a good picture. Mm-hmm. My thing is that if it doesn't get the amount of likes that I'm not,
it's like, was it worth posting?
There's no, like I want people to see it. That's the thing. So if it has like less likes, it's like, oh,
but
people
like,
didn't get
people
to see it.
People could still see it and just not like
it. Right,
you
that's
know?
The thing.
Like,
you never know.
Because I don't really pay attention to it like that. Like, oh, I like all this person's pictures. But like, I'll see a picture, even if I think I like it. Sometimes I'll look back at a picture and be like, oh, I guess I didn't even know I didn't like that. Mm-hmm. But I remember liking it in my head, right?
Yeah,
like,
I do that too.
Yeah,
like, so, I was like, oh, I love this picture. And I scroll by it and I didn't
so
like it.
So to me, it's not like a huge deal whether I actually double tap on a picture or not. Because I feel like I can still like a picture. In my head, I could be like, wow, it's a really good picture. And it's not that big of a deal. It's just this thing that we become obsessed with.
Yeah, and we need to stop that obsession. So maybe when Instagram does do this in the United States, that'll put an end to it. But another thing that...
Or it'll go an uproar.
Yeah, yeah, it will be an uproar. I would bet with Nikki on that. Another thing with viral culture is all these dumb challenges that happen. So we had, what was the Kylie Jenner lip challenge?
Was this like the beginning of that? Or maybe like even the cinnamon challenge on
I
YouTube?
Never did. Let me tell y'all something.
That because it looks like it hurt people. Why would I want to do
that? It's dangerous. A lot of these challenges are dangerous. And two, I don't feel the need to do any of this. I'm not a challenge person. All these challenges that people do,
I've never done any of them.
Either it's a kid thing. It's actually
not a kid thing.
Because the bottle cap challenge, all the celebrities and adults were doing
that. I've never seen it as a kid thing because you look at, like on YouTube, there's a cinnamon challenge. That was a bunch of adult, at least adult-ish YouTubers
doing that. Okay, what is it? You take a spoonful of cinnamon.
You take a spoonful of cinnamon and put it and try and swallow it. The thing is, you can't swallow it because it's dry.
People will die.
They won't die, but like you'll start coughing a lot. Like people have to drink water, milk or something because it literally coats and dries your throat.
That's horrible.
And it's just a spoonful of dry spice that you can't breathe. You start coughing. It's like a cinnamon cloud.
I'm surprised nobody's ever asphyxiated from that. I think that's...
Some people probably do.
See,
people have
all
like,
for attention and likes. Like, this is ridiculous.
No, I mean, asphyxiations are kind of different, though. Sometimes it's sexual for people. Like, people have... What is it called? Like, choking?
People like that?
Yeah,
I know people like that.
What is it called? I can't remember.
Choking?
No, something asphyxiation. Like, where they get, like, satisfaction out of being choked almost to the point where they can't...
Oh, that's really horrible. Because one day... Whenever you're having sex with somebody, that person that's choking you is going to kill you.
No, it can go really wrong. And that's, I don't know, I guess the thing. Like, people have showed up in the ER and be like, oh, what happened? Well, I really like being choked. And my partner choked me. And I went too far. I didn't say the safe word. And...
That's wild. But, and then another thing that was disgusting, the Tide Pod Challenge. Like, who?
Ew.
This is ridiculous. Why?
I never understood these challenges because honestly, they look either painful or they look... Why would you want to eat a Tide Pod?
First of all, a Tide Pod is not food. Why are you ingesting something that is harmful for your body? You know what I mean?
It's just, like, for what?
So with the Tide Pod Challenge, what would they do? Bite it and spit it back out or what?
I don't even know.
That's ridiculous.
And I remember Tide started putting out these warnings, do not eat this. I'm like, why should you have to say not to eat laundry detergent? It's not made to be. Are you going to go and eat soap? Are you going to go and eat like
bleach? And it's embarrassing. Honestly, all these challenges are embarrassing because it taints certain generations. This is why I maintain to this day, I am not Gen X. I am millennial. Gen Z. I'm not Gen Z. I'm millennial because I don't want to be associated with this Tide Pod challenge, this cinnamon, this. What else is there?
Kylie Jenner lip challenge. Oh, so this is when Kylie was lying about having lip injections. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, she lied. She was like, no, I haven't got my lips done. And that's where, like, sometimes celebrities, what they say has a consequence. Mm-hmm. People, there started being these little suction things. Either, or I think they put the lips in a water bottle.
No, it would be a glass bottle.
Oh, yeah, glass. Mm-hmm. But then also, I started seeing companies were selling, like, this thing that I guess wasn't a glass bottle, so it wasn't like as dangerous.
Yeah.
But something that you put on your lips for a few seconds
to plump it up.
And it would suction it and make your lips look.
For how long?
I don't know.
I think that is stupid.
Some amount of time that wasn't like maybe a minute or something less. I don't know. Some amount of time is like this little silicone thing they put around their lips to close off and then. Like, after they take it off, and then they put their nice little lipstick on, right?
It's like, celebrities have fame, and with that fame, they have a lot of influence. They influence people to sometimes do stupid things. I know Kylie Jenner did say, hey, everybody, put your lips in this bottle, suck really hard, and pluck it back out.
Oh, wow, Kylie didn't get lip injections? So there must be some other way to get lips like hers, right?
People are stupid.
Yeah.
People are really
but
stupid.
But the thing is, she lied. She does get lip injections, but she didn't want to admit, I guess because she's so young, and it's like... hard being in the media.
No.
But at the same time, like, you have to realize that if you say you didn't do something, people might go out and find a different way to achieve the same look.
Exactly.
Because you say you didn't do something, so maybe there's another way to get lips like Kylie's,
exactly.
Right?
Or if it is plastic surgery and you can't afford plastic surgery, you go to Brazil and they put concrete in your ass.
Oh, Lord.
Like, imagine.
That's a whole other thing.
Imagine.
Black market surgery. Oh, gosh. Honestly, just save money and get it done right if you're going to do it. Mm-hmm. Because that shit can really... It can kill you. It can leak into your blood system. It really can be toxic. I don't know why people do that.
It's sad. And then another thing is, like, the condom challenge. What else?
Honestly, I don't have a problem with, like, fun little things like the condom challenge. Because, like, that doesn't hurt anyone. It's like, you fill up a condom with water, put it over your head, you look funny, whatever.
What does hurt is licking ice cream with the flu.
Oh, yeah. No, I guess there's challenges that can be harmful. And there are ones that are just, like, for fun and whatnot. Like the, like the condom challenge. Mm-hmm. What other challenges are just for fun?
Well, that's just for fun. But a lot of people do stuff, like... for stupid reasons. There was this challenge where people were setting themselves on fire. They would rub oil all over their bodies.
Did they want to be miserable for the rest of their life?
What did they think was going to happen? Is
like,
my thing.
Do you know how expensive medical bills are? So you're going to like...
No, it's this
why?
Thing. They're in a shower. They're in a shower, but they light themselves really quick, put on the shower, and then rinse off the fire. Like, that is stupid.
Okay, but the thing is, that could easily go wrong. You can end up in the hospital.
Yes, people were getting burned.
Exactly. When you have burns, you have to be in the hospital for a very long time. You lose your skin. Your flesh is exposed. It's terrible. Mm-mm. Oh, my goodness. If you've seen burn victims, I don't know why you'd want to voluntarily put yourself at risk for that.
It doesn't make sense.
But then there's, like, other, I think, little fun, cute challenges. Like, you have... like the dance ones. What is it?
In my feelings.
Yeah. There's other ones.
I guess.
Too.
I mean, that's.
Like, I think it's just cute. Like, oh, like, I can't dance, so whatever.
I won't be doing that. I mean, yeah, those ones are fine because it gets kids involved and it's like this family thing. Those are fine. But another thing that kind of deals with the In My Feelings challenge was the Bird Box challenge, where people would blindfold themselves, walk into the middle of traffic. That is the stupidest thing.
Some of it is just people being purely stupid. Like, honestly, some people just don't have common sense. Common sense is not common. Y'all don't have it. So if you want to go and put yourself out in traffic blindfolded, go ahead. But I won't be doing
That's
it.
That's ridiculous.
You're being stupid.
If y'all don't know, everybody should know what the Bird Box challenge is. But for those of y'all that don't, Bird Box is a popular movie that's on Netflix where...
Did you ever watch it?
I never saw it completely. There was a night that we were watching it here, but I didn't finish
it.
You watched it?
Uh-huh.
No, I didn't finish it. But it's basically a movie where... It's a horror movie. And if you see stuff, you die or something like that.
Oh, yeah, because there's this, like, creature that's, like, looming around, and if you see it, if you make eye contact with it, then, like, I think you get...
Something
not, like,
bad
infected,
happens to you, basically.
Like, it basically takes over you, and you start wanting to kill and do whatnot. So, the people, the good people in the movie, they stay blindfolded when they can, so that nothing bad happens to them.
So people took that reference from the movie and started tying blindfolds around themselves.
Oh, I guess the other thing is that they use the blindfold, so they keep the blindfold on while they go out into the forest or they're on the lake, like, rowing. So they use it all the time so they can't see around them. Mm-hmm. That's the whole thing.
Right, so that's where the whole Bird Box challenge came from. Then people started blindfolding themselves, running into traffic. The stupidest thing that I saw, somebody was doing the Bird Box challenge and they were driving.
They're the troubling videos inspired by the new horror movie, Bird Box. Under no circumstance are you allowed to take off your blindfold? The Netflix smash sparking this dangerous viral challenge where people blindfold themselves, attempting to do everyday tasks.
Take it slow.
Oh my God!
One Utah teen attempting to do the challenge while driving with her hat over her head. She swerved into another lane, crashing into a car. She could face reckless driving charges.
What did you think was going to happen?
Was someone else in the car?
No, but...
No one else
The one that was
car?
Recording that was, okay. was in the car, he Bird Boxed himself into another car. Like, that is...
Bird Boxed himself into another car.
That was
car.
So stupid, and people... Just
That's
do the
money.
Dumbest
like
things.
Y'all must have money laying around to be fixing your car for that.
To the point where Netflix had to say, "Guys, Bird Box is just a movie. Please don't."
Exactly. That's what Tide
this.
Had to do. Like, Tide Pods are meant for laundry. Like, do not consume them. They shouldn't have to be putting out a statement to tell you not to eat laundry detergent. Just have common sense.
It's stupid. So they do that for likes and attention, and it's annoying. I love the authentic stuff because there was that video of a father talking to his baby son, and the baby son was like babbling back to him. They were like having a conversation. Mm-hmm. I thought that was cute, and that was an authentic thing that went viral.
Yeah, I love authentic things that go viral because I guess they help our world be connected, help us see some light in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, I like the authentic stuff.
In this dark world that we live in.
it is a dark world that we live in, but that was very dramatic.
Yeah.
This dark world that we live in.
It's true. These days,
these YouTube videos bring light to our lives.
Some of them, not all of them. I think that people equate clout with success. If you get some type of notoriety,
for some
successful.
People, it is success.
Not all clout is good clout.
No, that's true. But for some people, it leads to success. Like, you can look at Cardi, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Cardi was this girl. She made little funny videos. I've been following Cardi for years. Like, ever since she said, a hoe never gets cold, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's in that little hotel. She did a little spin. Basically, her outfit was covering her nipples and her little private areas, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure she lives in New York, so
it's freezing.
Know damn well it was freezing
cold.
She said, a hoe never gets cold. I've been following her since then.
She was an internet personality, and she authentically, like, built a following.
Like, she
and
did
now
stuff for clout.
She morphed it into a career.
Now she has money.
She did it. anything for clout.
And you know what? It worked. Clout. It worked for her. For some people, it works and it does equate success because some people are able to turn it into this career that makes them money. And I think it's where our society has shifted a little bit, how people are able to make money over social media, whether that's making like brand deals or having a YouTube video that you get paid for with AdSense and like people watch your videos. So Google pays you, you know?
And the thing is, everybody these days has a phone. Everybody these days have a camera. So it's easier for people to make a quick video, do something to get some kind of attention.
You know, but for some ways, it actually works in like a social beneficial way. Like with, we've seen this with police brutality of like people recording things on their phone and then it goes viral because some things, like local things, are hard to get nationwide or global, but social media, it's made it easier for us to see these things that maybe we weren't exposed to before.
Exactly.
For me, partially it's beneficial because I'm able to see these instances of police brutality or other things that are going wrong. But at the same time, it's kind of turned negative in a way because I think we've become desensitized to some of these things that we see in media.
That's
true. We've seen that with the news too, with whether it's war or just things going on in the world, you see Syria. you see it over and over again. And then in your mind, it becomes normal. It becomes this thing that you don't necessarily get angry at, or you kind of make it seem commonplace, you know?
Even I think it's bad. There's more good than bad that comes with it because people are being exposed to things that wouldn't be possible to see without technology. So in that effect, it's doing good, especially for people that wouldn't believe that these things are happening otherwise. So there is some good, but that's a good point because that racist lady, if they weren't recording her, we would have never saw that.
Yeah, like there are things that go on in our everyday lives that just other people don't know about. And it's like there's so many people out there in the world that we literally, like, we know they exist, but we don't know the individuals. We don't know who they are. We don't know what's really happening in the world until it's brought to our attention.
Exactly. For me, clout has always been something that existed before the term ever came into prominence. Course. When I was in middle school, there were these boys that would be like, I'm a blood, I'm a Crip. And I was
don't you live in the suburbs?
You live in the suburbs. So how are you in a gang? So they would try and say that they're in a gang for clout. Like, you saying you're in a gang does
not
impress me.
That's not for clout at all. People die in gangs. Gang violence and...
how is that cool? And then they would do the little blood sign over their eye and be like...
You know what? There are people, not in the terms of gangs, but there are definitely people, like, in my school district who, like, thought they're from the hood, but...
If you live in the suburbs.
If you know where I'm from, like, there's no way you could look at where I'm from and say it's the hood.
What hood could that possibly be?
It's just not.
Like, these
even
people...
like the poor people, I'm telling you, you don't live in the hood.
Like, saying you're in a gang does nothing for me. Am I supposed to think that you're cool? Oh, you're in a gang? Woo. I want to be in one, too. Like, that's so stupid to me. Like, they really thought that they were bloods or this. Like, you guys live in the golf course neighborhood. You're not. Trust me, you're not from the hood, and
you're
not in a gang.
You know what that reminds me of? Migos and, like, how they're from, like, an affluent area of Atlanta. Uh-huh. And...
they rap about...
like, literally, was it Offset's parents' picture that came out or something like that?
I don't know.
Some picture of one of their parents came out, and it was, like, the type of people who, like, go to Cotillion and kind of thing. Mm. And I was like, damn, you talk about being from the hood and all this crazy shit, but... really?
In actuality, you're really not about that life.
You're not about that life. It's funny, I saw one, I don't remember who it was, one of those little mumble rappers, right? He was talking on Genius about the lyrics of his song, and it was talking about, like, holding a strap, and whatnot. He's like, I'm gonna be real with y'all, I don't have a strap, I've never had a strap, like, I'm from the suburbs, like, I'm not about this life.
Tell the truth, tell the truth.
And he's talking
truth.
About, like, being with girls, he's like, I don't have a girlfriend, like, I don't, like, I'm not about
he's
this
actually
life.
Gay.
Maybe. I don't know. But it was funny because he was, like, saying all this shit, like, what his lyrics were. It's, like, a trap song, right? But he's, like, I've never experienced these things, and I'm not about this life. Like, I've never had a gun. I've never been strapped. Don't come for me. I'm not strapped.
Yeah, but yeah, he says these things in order to, like, build a following because, like, people think that stuff is cool.
But honestly, think about, like, some of the songs that you sing along to. Like,
I don't know what you listen to. I'm a nigga. Pull that trigger. What are you listening to?
Yep. I'm a nigga. That's what I be listening to, and I'm like, I'm not about that life, but, like, sometimes it just gets me hype, and it's, like, a fun song to listen to, but I'm not about that life at all.
Speaking of rapping, with technology and everything, these days with clout, everybody wants to be a rapper, and none of what they're rapping is good. Like, I have friends that just people that I know say, oh, I'm a rapper, check out my stuff on SoundCloud. I listen to it, and it's trash. None of it is ever good. I have not... anybody
and SoundCloud that, rappers.
Yeah, anybody that I've ever come into contact to that's asked me to listen to their music, none of it is ever good. Mm. And I know that you don't have access to like high quality production, but at the same time, it's like this mediocre mess that.
Yeah, you can at least have flow. Like even if you don't have the flow, then what do you have? Nothing. If you don't have the flow, you at least need to have good production and. Like, you know, to compensate, like, yeah. Right? I guess there's nothing wrong being a SoundCloud rapper because, you know, well, to some extent, some of the people, they move on from SoundCloud and become something bigger, mm-hmm. right? But some of y'all stay on SoundCloud for 10 years and
there's people out here that mixtapes. Think that they're going to make it as a rapper. Not everybody is meant to be a rapper in one. And two, not everybody can rap. Like, people have ghostwriters and stuff in the industry, so talent these days, that's a whole nother discussion, but yeah, another thing with Cloud is the whole rapping issue. That's annoying to me.
I feel like people just need, I feel like our society needs to move away from this, like, artificial means of getting famous and, like...
Fame is not it. Like...
It's really if not.
You can, what you can control is your success, your education. Like, that's what you can control. You can't really control, like, being famous because that's not up to you to decide.
It's really not. It's up to your fans.
Yeah, a lot of things that happen in the world is based on, like stuff that happens naturally, like stuff you can't control. Stuff that you don't even think would go viral sometimes ends up going viral, and that's how you even get famous in the first place.
It's like, a lot of people, they put out a video for something and it was just another one of their videos mm-hmm. and somehow it got a lot of recognition. There's this guy at UT, I can't remember his name now, but he makes like little, not music videos, but like videos of him playing music and mm-hmm. singing. And one of his things went viral on Twitter, and Lin-Manuel Miranda actually saw it. He was like putting a verse over one of his songs, like a rap verse over one of his songs. Mm-hmm. And Lin-Manuel Miranda saw it, but I'm sure he was just thinking, I'm making another one of my like normal videos.
Exactly. And see, and something got, authentic. Like,
20,000 followers exactly. off of it.
And that's amazing. Yeah. So sometimes you get fame and clout or whatever when you least expect it.
I just feel like you need to be yourself. There's so many mm-hmm. people out there on social media that aren't themselves and they try to curate this look of
persona.
Yeah, what they think will other people will like.
Or what is actually getting them attention.
I guess, yeah.
They just continue
because
doing
that. Because
there
are a lot of like Instagram models that I'm sure they don't do anything mm-hmm. but post pictures of themselves.
Yeah, there's this documentary. I know y'all are going to cringe when I say who's behind it, but Paris Hilton did this documentary about like
internet fame. I wouldn't cringe. I think she's interesting fame. Because her story to fame, I mean, obviously her dad has money in the Hilton hotels that are international.
She's an heiress.
Obviously she has money, but her story to fame is a little interesting. I think she's grown a lot from what's her
Simple
show
Life.
With like Nicole
the
Richie.
Simple Life.
Yay, that's hot. Like, she's like, grown a lot from that.
Yeah,
you know?
So she has a documentary about like Instagram and fame and.
Oh, I watched part of it.
Yeah, so maybe y'all should check that out and see if some of the stuff we talked about today is relevant. But yeah.
Because there's a lot of things that celebrities go through that you don't even realize. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Like, stop holding them to such a high esteem. They are people. They go through things. And you can't expect too much out of them.
Yeah.
You can't expect as much out of them as your friends. Like, you don't know them like that. They don't owe it to you.
They
You're
don't.
Just, like, another fan, another like out there. Exactly. Another follower in the 20 million.
Yeah. So, sometimes what you see is not it at the end of the day. But do anything for clout, I guess. So I guess we're going to now transition into our listener letter. So again, if you guys would like to send us a letter, you can email us at polaropposites.pod@gmail.com. So with this segment, we answer any questions that you have. If y'all are going through anything and y'all like send us a story and you want our take on it, we'll also do that. Like anything that y'all want to know about us, ask away and we'll answer. So what is the question that we have this week?
What is a big life lesson that you have learned?
A big life lesson that I've learned. I've learned a lot of life lessons. I don't know if you want just one.
Okay. A big one.
A big life lesson that I've learned. I don't know. I think that my life lesson would be that there's power in being who you are. Mm. I think that in my life, I've made friends like being myself and being who I am. And I think that a lot of people sometimes become someone else in order to get the approval and the friendship of other people. But what I've learned is that whenever I'm myself, like I make friends naturally, and the friends that I make are people that stick around for a long time. And that's in any aspect. Whenever you're yourself, a lot of opportunities can come with that because people see you for who you are versus who you pretend to be. So that's one thing that I've learned as a life lesson. Mm. What about you?
I think mine is similar, but a little bit different, is that basically you can't live your life for others. I know at least a lot of people I know, especially of African descent, that we tend to live for our parents mm-hmm. because we know they made a lot of sacrifices for us, and they want a certain type of life for us.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't really align with most people. We are individuals. We can't live through our parents, or we can't live for them. Our life goals may be very different from what they envision for us. And you just have to go for what you want mm-hmm. because at the end of the day, you have to live for yourself because you're the one living the life. You're the one who's going to have to go through whatever it is that you're going through. No one else is going to experience it for you. No one else is going to take these exams for you, take these tests, or go through school or do this and that except for you. Mm-hmm. Like, you're the one who's going to be doing it all.
Mm-hmm.
And
our happiness is important too.
You can't live for other people. And I don't know, for some people, I know, like, I have a friend, he's in med school now. Like, he just finished his first week.
Mm-hmm.
But he was telling me that, like, even like a month ago, he was telling me that, like, he doesn't even know if he wants to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't know why he's doing it.
A scary position to be in.
Yeah, and I'm like, you're starting in, like, a month. What are you talking mm-hmm. about?
And I think that part of that might be, like, the fear of, like, just beginning a new path in your life.
Yeah, and like, disappointing yeah. parents, or just, like, the fear of the unknown of what else would I do? Because I've been so conditioned that I'm going to do this, and I haven't thought about anything else, or I haven't thought about my actual likes and desires and mm-hmm. passions.
Because that's important as well. As much as career success, it's important, your own happiness and what yeah. you want to, doing what you want to do is important as well. So I think that's a really good lesson that you've learned, and a lot of people can probably relate to that, to mm-hmm. be honest.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I think that's about it for this episode. Thank you guys for continuing to listen. We really, really, really do appreciate it so much.
Yeah. Follow us on Instagram at Polar Opposites Pod. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for your support so much. Mm-hmm. We are on Patreon. We're going to mention that again.
Keep plugging it, Mickey. We're on Patreon.
So become a patron and help us out. It means so much to us.
And if you really love the show and you've never, like, told us what you think about the show, leave us a review, leave us a rating, and we'll read them on air if you wish. But yeah,
we love hearing from you guys, and we just love connecting, and the fact that we are reaching a lot of people even around the world.
Yeah.
So thank you guys so much, and we'll catch you on next week's episode.